My name is Danny Hoffman. I am 15 years old. Today is December 1st, 2019, and I'm speaking with Diane Hoffman, who is my mother.
I'm Diane, and we're going to be talking about my dad.
So where did your dad grow up?
He was born in Brooklyn, New York. His parents are from Norway, and they came over, I'm not sure when, but they came over and settled in Brooklyn, and some years later, my dad was born.
What was his childhood like? Did he play any sports? How was school?
He was an only child. He had a pretty close-knit family, and I think he had many friends in the neighborhood and other relatives that eventually came over in the years before and after his parents did. He played basketball, and he snow skied. He also did a few jobs, one of which I remember was working at a bakery. So he was up practically in the middle of the night to go and set everything up and start getting the baking going. I think that was during his high school years.
And after high school, did he go to college? Anything like that?
He did. The high school he went to was Brooklyn Technical High School. He was very bright, very analytical, maths and sciences. And he may have had to be tested into that school, I'm not sure. But that was, I'm not sure if he walked or took public transportation, but that was his high school. And then after high school, he went just another place in Brooklyn, and that was the Brooklyn Polytechnic High School, which is also like engineering sciences, math focused.
Is that also kind of what college you went to?
That's the college.
So, yeah. So I'm assuming he majored in something in the math and sciences.
Yes, it was engineering, and I believe it was civil engineering.
Okay.
That he graduated with. Yes.
So I'm aware that he was in the Army. What exactly did he do during that time?
He originally wanted to go into the Air Force because he had always wanted to fly planes. But we believe that it was a diagnosis of emphysema that kept him from being able to do that. So he became part of the Army Corps of Engineers. And that was in the 1950s, I think. And as far as I know, he went to Panama to work on the canal there. And I'm not sure. I think I'm not sure it was very long. But it was a way for him to get experience, to be a part of the services, and probably to give him kind of a leg up for when he returned.
Mm-hmm. So what is exactly the Army Corps of Engineers? Do you have any more detail?
Okay, I had to look that up because, you know, I'm not really, I'm not sure if I could tell you without looking it up. So the Army Corps of Engineers is a federal agency under the Department of Defense that primarily oversees dams, canals, and flood protection in the United States, as well as a wide range of public works throughout the world, planning, designing, building, and operating locks and dams. So as far as our family is aware of, he was doing just that in Panama, the Panama Canal, excuse me.
Okay. So, do you know how long he was in that? How long he served?
You know, I don't. I do have a date of when he was enlisted in 1946, in July. And that's kind of all we have. So I'm not sure how long he was in there.
So obviously in the Corps of Engineers, he was working in civil engineering. So do you think that through high school and college, when he was studying the sciences and math and technology mainly, that during his professional years, he wanted to be in that field?
He definitely had the aptitude for it. Obviously, he did very well in high school and very well in college. And I think there was an expectation based on that that he does do something with it. And so I don't think there was too much room maybe for anything else but to focus in on that. And he was good at it, so he followed that path. And so he got the real life experience in Panama. And when he came back to the States, he did find work. I'm not sure what his first jobs were. He did have practically a lifelong career at United Airlines and started at, you know, a lower level, and slowly just worked his way kind of around, and then up as he gained years of experience and knowledge there. It wasn't really until after he met and married my mom and they started a family, and it was probably maybe my mom's influence, like encouragement, that he also had a creative side. And I think that was a really good balance. I think it was a lot of pressure for him to perform or to be successful at his career. And it was just kind of really linear. So I think the influence of my mom, who was much more of the artist, creative mind, that allowed him to explore his creative side. And that would come out in just like family activities, places we went, things we did. For him personally, he, you know, started doing some theater, just community stuff with other friends in the community, and so he was able to explore that side too. Since I it seems as though it was rather, you know, one line, one direction, engineering, and he was good with it, but good at it. Yeah, I think that helped balance his interests, and yeah, I think that was a good thing for him.
Mm-hmm. So after the Army, where he was a civil engineer, and United Airlines, did he have another job that allowed him to access his more creative side that he discovered later in his life?
I'm not sure about that. I know that he started at United utilizing more of that analytical skill set that he had. And I don't remember the progression, but he ended up being a VP of purchasing in some area. And I'm not sure that it was necessarily creative, but he was able to meet a lot of people and talk with people. I think that was a big part of his job. I think he welcomed the change. He found other ways to do different things outside of work. Like I said, he did the theater, and he really did enjoy that. He also served on the board of a community pool type center. And this was back in, I think, the 70s. And I remember seeing an article that he and a group of about 5 or 6 people were working on solar energy. Hmm. I thought that was just interesting to see now that they, in the 70s, they were already kind of talking about that. I think he tried to find other outlets to explore different parts of who he was, or trying out different things, different skill sets. But he definitely had a life career. Mm-hmm. Okay. At United, and then just tried to find these other things outside of work.
So speaking of your mom and her influence on your dad, where did they meet and when did they meet? Was it after the Army, or was it during United?
Yeah, it was, my mom had also, I believe was in Washington State, and he was, the story goes, and I know I have some letters, but I can't retrieve them from the basement, but the story goes is, they were both working at United, not aware of each other. She was a flight attendant, I believe, at the time, and that was only for a couple of years. So they got lucky that they met each other in those couple of years that she was there. And he was either living in New York or living in Colorado. I'm not sure, but there was a company picnic, and that's where they met. And I think it was probably no more than a couple years courtship is what they would call it back then. And and then they got married. Oh, gosh, I should know this. But then they got married. So they met at a company picnic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where did your parents start their life together? They met in Denver, right?
They met in Denver. I believe they married in California. They must have both been out there, obviously. My mom's parents lived in Northern California, and my dad's parents still lived in New York, but the job must have taken him to California, specifically, I think, Los Angeles. So I think that's where they married and started their life together. As a family, his job, so he was at United, like I said, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. This is something that they had, talked about before they got married. This was the arrangement that they thought would work well with them, and they knew they wanted a family, and probably more on the larger side than the smaller side. So they started in California, and I believe from there went to Denver. I think to Illinois, to New Jersey. Nope, I left California out of there. There was a California in there. So at some point, it was Illinois, and then I think to California, and then okay. to New Jersey, and then back to Illinois for him. That's where he last lived. And he and my mom did some travels. I think for their honeymoon, they actually ended up going back to Norway for at least part of the trip to visit his probably like humongous family.
Yeah.
And they had gone to Japan together. And there was, of course, family vacations here and there, not every yeah. year. And most of the time, I guess because of some of the connections or friends he had at work, they would have deals, or somebody would have a house here or there, and there was an opportunity to go, and then we went. So, and given that he worked at the airlines, we were able to fly for really just the tax of the ticket for the most part. And so although we didn't have vacations every year, we had enough, and they were some, you know, pretty nice places. Went to Hawaii a couple times, and islands out east, East Coast, off the East Coast.
Yeah.
And of course in the United States, but yeah, definitely perks for his working at United, and we definitely moved around the country due to his job, which was always like a lateral move or a promotion. So it was always a positive thing. And they ended up having 5 kids, and not just 5 kids, but 5 girls.
Yeah.
So he was the only boy in the family. And he was, he handled that very well.
So, in all his travels with his wife, did they kind of travel around, settle down, then start a family? Or did they start a family and then continue traveling around to New Jersey and Illinois?
No, I think they got married and kind of stayed put and had their first child. And their movement around the country, their moving, was all due to his work.
Okay.
And almost always for a positive reason. And the travel that they did wasn't much during their family building years, because it's just, what do you do with 5 little ones? So they didn't really do a lot of travel themselves. The there was mostly family travel. I think they had their honeymoon trip, and then anything else I think was probably just in the United States. And the Japan trip, because that was a huge one, was the time that they had taken me to college.
Okay.
And I was number 4 out of 5. And so there was my younger sister who was still home, who must have been staying with friends or something, because this was work related, but my mom went along. It was an opportunity to go to Japan. So they went, but the funny kind of sort of story is that they took me to school, but right from there, or the next day after dropping me off, they were set to jet off to Japan for 2 weeks. So I'm going to school out of state, and not knowing, I didn't visit the school. I didn't, you know, I was late on doing the whole college thing. So I go to school, my parents drop me off, and they go off to Japan. So I was kind of freaking out a little bit, because I'm thinking, well, what if I don't like it? What if I don't meet anybody? And they're in Japan. I mean, we didn't have cell phones
mm-hmm.
back then. I couldn't text them or anything. So I will always remember their trip to Japan because it was marked by my freak out at, oh my gosh, what if I need something?
Yeah.
And you're across the world. So, and I think that's what they were looking forward to in their retirement, is to be able to do more of that travel.
Yeah. So speaking of thinking back on it, do you have some particular memories that you like in particular of your father?
Or just like, so... Well, yes, there are. The Japan one is maybe not a favorite, but it's definitely one that
it's memorable.
It's memorable, yes. I remember that he would make popovers just from time to time. And he would get up really early and make them, and they were amazing. And I thought that was kind of cool to see.
No, I might be...
My dad, in the kitchen making popovers.
I might be completely dumb here, but what are popovers?
Oh, they're like a biscuit. And you bake them in a muffin pan, but they like really like kind of pop over. they're fluffy and just the lightest bit of crispy on the outside.
Okay.
And you pull them in half and you'd put like maybe butter or honey. Mm. They were so good. And you could smell them and you definitely got up for them and you didn't make, him
yeah.
wait. So that was always really nice. He would... play certain music at certain like holidays, like loud in the morning where you were really having a difficult time trying to sleep in because it was just loud.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen a lot, but it was just kind of special. It's a special memory that he would do that. I remember him taking me out to the driveway, and we were living here in Illinois at the time. I was probably high school, I guess. It was high school. And he had a telescope. I'm not quite sure how he got it. I think it was a recent gift or something, and we had both. I think it was probably an astrology class that I had taken at school.
Mm-hmm.
That might be all coming back to me. I think that was in college. So I had come home and we had talked about that class. And he had this telescope type thing. And so we went outside on the driveway and just, it was a beautiful, clear night and could see all the stars. And we just tried to identify as many as we could, and pointing them out to each other. And it was really nice because I think with a large family like that, it's just what it is. It's hard to have one-on-one time with either parent. So when you got it just spontaneously, maybe it wasn't appreciated as much as it is now.
Yeah.
But that was, I remember that, and that was just really special. He would also, this was later in his life, but he would also go to, in Illinois as well, he would also go into Long Grove and to the confectionery store, the candy store, and he would always come back with the little bags of candy. And I always thought that was just very sweet that he made a special trip all the way out there to get this little paper bag that was flipped over of his candies. And they were those fruit gels. Like fruit jelly candies that are sugar coated. Yeah, those were among his favorites. I don't know. He was just really He was just a really easygoing, easy to be with, calming person that, yeah, was just easy to be with.
Yeah.
Another memory that was kind of cool that he took the time to do was the Hands Across America.
Oh, yeah.
Mid-1980s, 86 or something. And it was, I think my two older ones were away at school, college.
Okay.
So it was my dad and my two other sisters. And I'm not sure where we, because I think you had to register and be at a certain general location. So he took us there and we participated in that event. And actually it's not, I guess, not that unusual. I know that both my mom and dad were socially conscious as far as things that were going on in the world, things that they wanted to support or at least talk about. Our conversations over the dinner table were not all the time, but my memory is that there was always conversation about current affairs. And my mom would be more emotional about it, and my dad would be very even keel and factual about it. I think they definitely balanced themselves out with that, but that was interesting. And so, you know, I guess there was a strike with grapes, as I remember, and my mom didn't pick it. I don't know what the word is, but we didn't buy grapes to support the
boycott?
Grape growers. Yeah.
Something like that.
So they were not in any leadership role or anything, but they were aware of things that were going on and did what they felt they could to support that. And so we did have that growing up. And so Hands Across America was just one of those things, I think. And it was kind of cool that he took the time to take his three youngest out to participate in that. Another thing I remember with my dad, we had three of my sisters were swimmers. The oldest was not, and I did not want to go in the pool in the early morning hours before school, which is when they had practice. I had no interest in that. So it was the three other sisters, and because they swam and I didn't, but I was, again, the fourth youngest, my dad and mom both volunteered to work the swim meets. So we'd get up really early in the morning. I would have to go, of course, and I wasn't happy about it. But, you know, by the time you get there and you're awake and you're active, you're fine. But it was just kind of fun because I was the only one not swimming in our family. My dad would be like the timer at the end of, or whichever end they'd finish doing their laps. And my mom was also doing something. I think her roles always kind of changed. And I was the runner who just ran around and took all the times from the timers, of which my dad was one, and then ran back around to give them to the summit official. So that was just kind of fun to do that along with them. And that they, you know, because I wasn't young, but, you know, they trusted me to do that, and that was fun to do together. Now, I only bring this up because I have a stuffed animal from the day that, I think this time it was my mom, dad, and then just my younger sister and myself, and we went to Brookfield Zoo. And it was just a really nice, easy, calm, you know, fun day. And I don't know how I got a stuffed animal. It wasn't really customary that we bought souvenirs. You know, we kind of went for the experience. And with five kids, it's not like you could buy things for everyone. So I think that day, I don't know, it was just me and my sister. Anyway, I ended up with a polar bear stuffed animal, and I still have it, and it reminds me of that nice, you know, beautiful day with my dad and my mom.
Yeah. So do you have any final thoughts about what kind of person your dad was, anything like that?
You know, I think I mentioned a couple of these things before, but he was 6'4", he's a tall guy, he was slender, he was the most like welcoming person. He would put you at ease. All my friends and my sister's friends, I think they felt really welcome and trusted. Both my parents. But my dad just treated everyone with respect, and they were equals, and he had a great sense of humor. I always enjoyed trying to make him laugh, because he had a nice laugh. And, you know, he was soft-spoken, but not shy, but just, he was just a quiet confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I really admired that about him. He was just a really easygoing, accepting person. One thing, and I think I have told you this before, but something that I remember that kind of speaks to his character is at United, when we were living in New Jersey, his department, he was the head of a small department, and they were eliminating that department. He was able to find a job here in Illinois, but his group, they couldn't find anything for them. So my dad's last weeks, months, at that job before he would transfer, he spent as much time as he could in trying to find opportunities for the people in his group. So be it, you know, doing some research and finding interviews or opportunities or connections. He actually, I believe, from what my mom said, is that he was successful in trying to find somewhere for all of those people to go to. Yeah, he felt responsible for them. And so, I don't know, admirable.
Of course.
Yeah, so he just, he's been described by several kind of different people in different parts of his life as being a gentleman, and like literally a gentleman, because he just was just gentleman.
Yeah,
all I can say.
Thank you so much. It's great to find out more about my grandfather. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure. Thank you for asking me to do this. It was really nice to talk about him.
Yeah.
And to, you know, have you know a little bit more about him.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.